Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You take the high road and we'll take the low road, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy, Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And the other guy, Pete Donaldson's here.
I'm not going to try.
Not easy.
Not easy. But first's the worst.
second's the best.
Marcus is the one with the hairy everything.
Jim Campbell.
Chimp Campbell.
what a spin-off.
I'd love to see that. My goodness. I mean, we're in the final.
Yeah,
we're in the fight.
We've mapped it out. We've been canny. If we mapped it out, Jim Campbell is wearing a similar shirt to the one that Gary Neville wore on the telly.
Is that right?
Yesterday, I'm enjoying that. It looked a little bit like those Magic Eye pictures from the past.
You are wearing sunglasses again, though.
So I am probably wearing sunglasses again.
Did Neville's shirt have all his trophies? Is that the Magic Eye? Yes, it was very flat. England versus Belgium. Belgium, of course, 1-1. Adnan Januzaj with beauty.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And this...
Batshuayi with a beauty.
I mean, thank heavens for Batshuayi booting a ball.
Appreciate that.
As Mitchie. Hard as he could, into his own face, and then tweeting, shit hurts.
I mean, why am I so stupid?
He's
pretty good on Twitter.
Couldn't happen to a more entertaining man, could it? He's brilliant.
He's just trying to liven things up.
No, I know. I was enjoying it. And thank heavens for that man.
Yeah. Do you know what would be funny? Obviously, England-Belgium play the game like that if Japan and Colombia progress. That would just teach it, wouldn't it?
It would be very English, I think.
Yeah. I think so. All this talk of right now we've got the easy part. I hate it.
Same.
I absolutely hate it. To be honest, when we were watching the game, I was with Jim. Not Peter, because he's a little bit more elusive. I remember just thinking, I'd love England to get an equaliser, and because I'd rather play Japan and Colombia, and then just all this talk of in the next round and the next just get on with the... Do you know what I mean?
It was hard to see who lost there, and it was hard to see who won.
Absolutely.
Everybody lost there, didn't they?
Januzaj won.
England lost and won. Belgium won and lost.
Yep.
It was so confusing.
It was so hard to know who to root for, wasn't it? Or what to root for, rather than who to root for. But then Belgium scored. It was like, score, England, go on.
Yeah, I didn't want England to lose the game. I was very much, I want England to win this game.
England got the result that they... would have probably asked for in a perfect world. But having to sit through 90 minutes of that is going to take the shine off everything, really. It's going to lose. We talk about momentum and stuff like that. People are getting very clever at the start of the match, sort of saying, look, the other teams, the other bigger teams, they'd be, you know, they'd be up for a bit of shenaniganery. And they'd sort of, they'd throw a match just to get an easier draw. And then by the end of it, people went, oh, our second string sucks. Like, yeah. We can't even do this.
Belgium's second string. I don't know what to take from the performance. Was it flat and underwhelming because they weren't really trying, or was it flat and underwhelming because it was flat and underwhelming?
They were trying. I don't think there's any question they weren't trying. I mean, Gareth Southgate may have said, right, no injuries here, lads. Do you know what I mean? Or give them the little thing there. But I don't think it's a case of, you know, Rashford running through going, oh, I'll just put this wide. I think that would be utterly ridiculous to think that. Not that you were suggesting that, of course, Jim. But I think it is a difficult game to go in. And a lot of the pundits have had their say and so on. And I think that from Alan Shearer talking, he said it was a weird game. It's a difficult one to play in. But I think the positives is that everyone's now got minutes. And people might think, well, this is not a Sunday football side. Do you know what I mean? Right, we'll get everybody on, lads.
Got minutes, but nobody excelled. Loftus-Cheek had a good game. That's the only person.
But I think that the point is that they haven't played. Some of those players haven't played for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And so Eric Dier was one that was highlighted. He hasn't played for a while. Now, if England progress further into the tournament, Eric Dier could be an important player for England. Mm. Hopefully this will just, you know, brush a few of the cobwebs away and oil up a few of the joints, if you know what I mean.
Pickford's joints didn't look particularly oiled.
Well, we knew the goalkeeping situation wasn't the best. And that's been,
Yeah, he can kick it really far, though.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's good.
There is that.
Because far is away from the goal, which is useful. Uh-huh. Southgate said after the game, our primary objective today was a midterm one. Very middle management. We got everyone time.
And that's
on the
odd
pitch.
Because he hates middle management.
Yeah, exactly. they are ready to start or come into a match having played. Those who have played have been protected, and we have everyone to select from going into the knockout.
Knockout.
The Italian food, the gnocchi.
Yeah, that is a sort of almost a press release, isn't it, rather than a statement in a press conference.
Well, the things we liked about Gareth Southgate, that he was open, he was honest, and there was that open.
Calming.
You look like a man who you could trust. But then, he has to draw a very particular line. He's got to balance a strike when it comes to what he says and what he doesn't say in a press conference, because if he goes out and says, yeah, we didn't want to win that, so we didn't.
Yeah, get murdered.
That's a sanction. You're going to get in trouble for that.
Of course.
So he's got to be very careful, but at the end of the day, we're watching a manager just sort of, flannel his way through a press conference.
But
he's lie effectively.
You losing trust?
Come on. Having Harry Kane.
Do you trust him?
Having Harry Kane.
Do you trust Gareth
Southgate? Coyly adjusting his shinnies during the match was absolute nonsense.
Do you trust Gareth Southgate?
Less so after that performance.
I don't know if England could
subterfuge.
Beaten Belgium if they wanted to. So, I think the whole point is probably moot, isn't it?
I guess so.
I don't think Southgate has put his team out to lose the game.
I don't.
He's clearly not gone full throttle, because he would have brought on Kane, for example, if they wanted to go for it, or something like that, or Sterling. I just think that he's thought to himself, the priorities are keep people interested, get them minutes, no injuries. And no knocks, no sort of yellow cards for the likes of Kane.
But Gareth Southgate was interviewed after the match and said, well, if you wanted to win the match, you would have brought Kane on. He went, yep. I would.
Yeah.
You know,
So I think that...
It's just eerie. It's just one of the same feeling at the end of the Japan match. It was a bit like,
We'll talk about that,
but it's just a bit like, I don't know. Imagine getting a ticket for that.
Well, do you know,
I
forget who it was said that one of the most important things, or the players that you need to keep happy in the squad, are those who aren't playing. Mm. He said they're almost like the most important players in a weird way, because they're the ones, if they start getting a bit bored and heads go down,
they'll distract others.
The mood in the camp is not good.
Troublemakers.
Bad eggs.
But does that tell them that this is their one chance to do something, and pretty much everyone, apart from Loftus-Cheek, underwhelmed?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it was a bit of a shame for Vardy. You know, he was...
Yeah, he ran around a lot. Enough.
And he nearly got an assist. You know, Rashford probably, you know, he should have put that one away.
Absolutely.
And it was a great bit of play from Vardy. But I think that Southgate, giving them minutes, it does keep them interested, because they do get a run out. And for fitness and for sharpness and all that kind of stuff, I think it is important. John Stones taken off shouldn't be too bad an injury. But that was a bit of a concern, of course. Mm. But Phil Jones playing for England at a World Cup.
Yes, I saw that happen.
Can we all get... but Yannis Eiskal was a beauty. The way he sort of rolled the ball over. I mean, yeah. Rose should be putting him on his right foot, but what a goal.
That was a big disappointment as well. I thought Rose's performance was a particular... Because he's a player who may very well play, and people were actually calling for him to come into the side, but not on that showing.
Yeah, he's one of the few where you think, actually, can we get a little bit better out of what we've got in the squad? And based on that performance, I don't know if there's much difference between him and Ashley Young, really.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think this talk of England's momentum, Jim, do you think this scuppers absolutely everything? Or do you think when England face Colombia, the likes of Kane and Henderson will be back in the side and it'll be like, right, let's go to work.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you only have the context of the atmosphere you yourself felt when watching the game. Personally, I don't think it will. I don't think it's a heavy enough or kind of drab enough defeat for it to really affect people, given the fact that it was the second string playing Belgium's second string. But other people you speak to think, oh God, he's not coming home anymore. It's just impossible to tell. I think, though, from the way that Southgate has the squad motivated, it's going to be fine. It's going to be absolutely fine, especially because they're looking ahead to Colombia, who are probably going to be without James Rodriguez, who's been their best player and, is largely speaking their best player consistently. So, you know, it's okay. It's a tough one. And I'm very worried, as you are, about people sort of assuming that England are in the semi-finals already, which, you know, we've heard a lot of that sort of stuff already. But it hasn't really dampened my enjoyment of England at this tournament. To be honest, it's a nice position to be in. You know, it feels unusual to us because we're not in a position where we win our first two games very often, and then the third one's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, it is.
I'll take that over like 0-0 with Algeria.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Yeah, I you're absolutely right, because I think this whole sort of plotting the way forward, which, as we say, is pretty redundant when you're talking about England. I can't really remember it happening before, and perhaps because England would go into that third game needing a win or needing something, and you think you've got to get something out of the game. You know, you can't start saying, "Oh, well, maybe we'll just do this or maybe we'll just do that." But they are playing Colombia in the next round.
Yes,
and to be honest, on the basis of Colombia versus Senegal, from an England point of view, I remember watching the game and thinking, if England do play Colombia. You know, but then it's very, very difficult because Colombia looked great against Poland. They did. Bit of a leggy side, Poland, but Colombia looked good.
England and Poland's sides aren't a million miles away, and England have obviously done it a lot better in the tournament, and I wonder if that will suit Colombia, because you feel like if they can get in behind us, they can really, really do some damage. And also, you know, they weren't amazing against Senegal, but it's the nervy last game of a knockout stage, of a group stage, rather. It's very different from the first stage of a knockout round, where you know that if it goes to penalties, you will probably win.
Yeah, yeah, keep it tight. In the other game in the group, Panama lost 2-1 to Tunisia. They scored again.
Yeah.
Hey. Beautiful. They've made a mark, haven't they? It's been a wonderful thing to see, especially to see them go a goal up.
It was a big deflection. Yeah, but they'll take it all day long. They certainly enjoyed it. It was nice that they had the lead. Okay, they were pegged back. But to score a goal that, not the seventh goal and a 6-1 loss kind of thing, which was good to see. Tunisia deserved their win, though. It was only their second ever win at a World Cup. The first one was in 1978, which is incredible, really, because they're a decent...
That's mad.
They're not a bad side, Tunisia. Yeah. Okay, they've not been great in this World Cup in some senses, but not a bad side. Both of their goals came from lovely moves. Kasri scored the 2,500th goal in World Cup history.
Finally!
Yes!
Someone's got that monkey off of the World Cup's back.
I didn't think we were going to get there. Sunderland. Yes, Sunderland.
Yes, Sunderland.
Let's mention Sunderland. As we're entering the last 16 of the knockouts, Sunderland have apparently been rejecting offers already for Kasri Peter.
Ah, well... I imagine it's not in their hands. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty ballsy work, I would say.
Losing Kasri and Jack Rodwell, how will they recover?
Good old. Yes, Peter.
Speaking about domestic league football, did you see that... Wayne Rooney's gone to DC United. Mike Ashley, it was proved in a court...
Here we go.
..he is allowed to be called a North Korean dictator.
Oh, yes!
Which is a real boon for us.
Wonderful.
It shows you how flat the England game was that we've mentioned Sunderland and Mike Ashley in the chat.
And Jack Rodwell.
And Wayne Rooney as well. I mean, Jim, would Wayne Rooney made a difference?
Shut up.
Okay, then. Okay, well, I can't really argue with that. Shall we go to a break, where, and after which we'll talk about Colombia and then that Japanese performance and maybe the last 16 fixtures. All right, ladies and gentlemen, see you in a moment.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ball played through for Shabalala, who is onside. It's a real chance for Shabalala! And he fires it home in style!
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Colombia got that win against Senegal.
They needed it, and they got it.
They certainly did, yeah. Colombia topped the group. And it was Yerry Mina with a headed winner. A textbook header. Mm. Head it down. Yeah. You head it down in front of goal.
Smack
unless you're
it really
John
hard
Stones.
With your noggin.
Absolutely right, yeah. As we say, injury concerns for James Rodriguez.
Got and of course, fatigue. Muscle fatigue.
Well, he didn't start the first game, of course.
Muscle fatigue.
Yeah. Is it muscle fatigue, is it?
Yeah, that's one of those things, isn't it? Is that necessarily going to keep him out of the game?
We shall
They're
see.
They're a very different team with so him, isn't
it? Do you remember Squad Freshness?
Yes,
the
that's
rapper,
you.
The fictional rapper that I was going to set up. Mm-hmm. I think Muscle Fatigue is his like is his MC, so he does all of like the DJ and stuff, and the MC is.
Does he sort
fatigue.
Of in mid flow? Does he just collapse?
Yeah, screaming,
cramp up.
You know he's finished when you hear the sound of the microphone hitting the floor.
Yeah, the mic drop is very necessary because he falls to the ground.
Yeah,
all
it's, it's an involuntary mic drop. Yeah. He just wants to get to the end of the rhyme, but he cannot do it. But who knows? I mean, Colombia, you've got to hand it to them, really. They lost the first game, of course, had a man sent off. And then they've gone and won their next two, keeping two clean sheets as well. I mean, three
really different performances as well.
Yes.
Which shows they've got a lot in their locker, and you wonder do England have the same? So the extra time penalties thing is a real hoodoo with England, obviously, as we all know, but I you wonder how much it plays into their minds if it's you know 87 minutes in and it's level. It is a real problem for England. I really want to see England win a penalty shootout at this World Cup because it might just put that to bed.
Yeah.
It might at least think it's been put to bed and go into things with a bit more confidence.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, Harry Kane, he's probably got one more penalty left where he can put it that side of the keeper.
But you know,
there's
what?
He's not getting to it.
Yeah,
he's
that's
doing
the
it.
Thing. Like, every time he takes that penalty, everyone's going to think, well, he's got one more of those left.
Do you think?
Before it goes to the side of the post. It.
Yeah, I would love that.
It's the least they'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game against Senegal, Colombia, it could have gone either way, of course. But Senegal, due to getting two more yellow cards than Japan, they go home. And that is a new rule that's been brought in this tournament, the disciplinary rule, because if teams are tied on goal difference, goal scored, head-to-head and so on, you know, how
this
do you do it?
It's a really rare thing.
It is very rare. But it's
one of those things where it's like there'll be so many think pieces written about it and you sort of go, this rarely happens and this will very rarely happen. So we've just got to eat it on this occasion. Yeah. It was a really strange end to the Japanese football match. But it doesn't happen every time and it's not going to happen every tournament. So let's just keep technology out of it. Let's just, one part of the game, let's just not have a power vacuum that allows technology in somehow.
How
I don't know.
How would technology work?
I guess two robots come on and have a scrap.
Do you not think it would be far more likely if in, say, 12 years or something at a World Cup where each team has to have a FIFA player. And if it ends, then they have to have a game of FIFA. Yeah. That would be a bit more realistic. Yeah,
the way the world is going.
Yeah.
Oh, you
don't like to talk about FIFA, Marcus.
Oh, Marcus, now that genie's not going back in the bottle now.
No,
now
exactly.
You've let that out.
Most professional teams do have a FIFA esports team now. So
exactly. That's right. This is going to happen. Yeah. It's your fault, Speller.
It's all my fault.
If it doesn't go on fair play, though, what would you say would be a better... Or, you know, just as good.
I tell you what,
shots, like direct.
No. I tell you what they used to use in some tournaments. It would be the number of corners.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But it would be, if you go down to corners, would be one. I think that would be, I mean, that was very old school, and that would be if the game finished maybe 0-0. That could have been before penalty shootouts.
Is that better than a coin toss?
I think actually, is the disciplinary thing that much worse than that?
No, probably not. I mean, there's a drilling sound somewhere in the building. I'm worried that technology is drilling its way in.
Is that I thought it was an enormous fly. I thought it was the England fly.
It was a Russian.
It's the England fly now. Is that what's predicting results?
Well, Russian.
Pull the octopus. Here's the England fly.
Well, in certain parts of the places where the games have been played in the training camps, like, just people just eating loads of flies, aren't they? So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Don't
swarm
flies.
Could have popped over here.
Don't do that.
Don't eat flies.
Can we give a bit of love for Davinson Sanchez's tackle on Sadio Mane, which people thought may have been given as a penalty? But
Davinson, isn't it?
Davinson
Sanchez, I believe.
Yeah, it was a glorious tackle.
It really was.
It
was risky.
It really was risky.
You can see his little face. You see his face when he was just like, That's one of my best ones.
That's a great tackle.
You can't give that.
This is one of the things with VAR, though. Do you think he goes into that with a little bit more confidence? Because he knows if he does get it right, he doesn't run the risk of the referee thinking he has got it wrong.
Yeah, that is true. And that is something where you sort of go, are people going to take more risks in that situation? I mean, I thought for the first time with that tackle, VAR added something to the game. And that was added time. But it was a really good application of VAR because it needed to be done because that was such a risky challenge.
It needed to be
done. Our very own dear Luke Moore.
I was about to mention this
the other day where somebody had calculated what stoppages are taking up the most time in games.
Yeah.
And free kicks, on average, are taking 10 minutes. That's insane.
Oh, what? Like, cumulatively?
Yeah.
Not just one free kick, are they?
Yeah.
No, that's...
Well, free kicks are taking about a minute and a half.
Do you know what? This is true. Like, the way free kicks are being lined up, I think... who hit one for England last night? Was it Alexander-Arnold?
Yeah.
Maybe Rashford have one
as well? Rashford had one, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember which free kick it was. But the build-up was so long. And because it's an England free kick, you think, oh, what have we got? And then he just blazes it over the bar. You go, oh. Oh, it was the bloody build-up.
Why is it taking so much longer?
Are the players like having a little sneaky breather?
I think it's just to annoy Luke.
Yeah,
and if that's the case,
I'm for it.
Then take as long as you want, boys. Yeah, take as long as you want.
Do it.
No Africa team, African team, of course, will reach the knockouts in this World Cup. Yeah. The first time since 1982.
It was definitely Nigeria, Argentina
so close, weren't they?
Yeah.
But then Senegal were so close as well. I mean, just two yellow cards. Although South America, they seem to have turned it around. We were a little bit worried after Colombia's loss, after Argentina getting hammered and so on. But now those two sides, along with Uruguay and Brazil, are going through. And it's just Peru that let the CONMEBOL side down, as it were. Let's talk about Japan and Poland, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Japan, a little bit fortunate to go through.
It's the narrative around this is fascinating, isn't it? Because the manager is really upset with himself because of how the game played out. And they've gone through based on fair play, but to go through based on fair play, they've had to be a bit naughty.
The commentators,
a weird little irony.
Yeah. The commentators on, I think it was BBC actually, that one, wasn't it? They didn't realise, and they were going, I don't understand why what the Japanese are doing. Why aren't they throwing the ball in the box? Why aren't they really trying?
But one thing I didn't understand is obviously Poland gone 1-0 up. They've got nothing to play for apart from pride, and you get it with the win. Why didn't Poland just go, sod you lot, we're going to keep our integrity, you know, go for it. I don't really understand that. But I mean, Japan, they seemed happy to see out the 1-0, hoping that Senegal wouldn't score because they'd obviously heard that they'd gone a goal down against Colombia. Many people have called this a farce, and quite rightly so. And FIFA may have to look at this again. I know that they've tweaked a few things here and there, you know, the last group games kicking off at the same time and so on, but you can't have that, really.
I don't know, but if England were in the same position and didn't do what Japan had done,
yeah, but it would be maddening.
Fuming.
Yeah, but if England were in the same situation, say Senegal, it'd be utterly maddening.
Yeah,
to see that.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you've got to go through. You've got to play the game that's in front of you, and those are the rules. This is how it works.
It's just an unfortunate quirk
of how you can't really set up the groups in a way where people don't know at some point who they get if they finish in a certain place.
I think that they should have all their phones taken off them.
Too long.
All the phones and radios, everyone into that stadium. That's what should happen, Jim.
Blinkers.
Stop advocating for this farcical nonsense.
Give them some blinkers. The irony of going through on fair play by not playing fair is wonderful. Japan to go through. Their next match is 8-1 with Bet365. £10 returning, £90 including stake. So if you fancy them against Belgium.
Yeah, even one of the Japan substitutes came on and made some sort of card gesture.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, right, lads, none of them. But yeah, the manager, Nishino, said after the match, we did not go for the victory, but we just relied on the other match, which I love the honesty. I mean, how could you lie about that, for crying out loud? But of course, had Japan lost 2-0 or the game had been a little bit more feisty and so on, then... I mean, they gambled because if Senegal scored, then they would have been out. Of course,
it was very risky, but they gamed it. They played it.
Well, I love the guy's honesty when he says it was slightly regrettable, but I suppose at that point I didn't have any other plans.
Yeah, and we're only going to get bullied to death by Romelu Lukaku in the next round anyway. So,
yeah, I think the neutrals will probably want to see Lukaku take vengeance for Senegal and for those who have integrity playing football. But he said, I am not really happy about how the way we went about it. Of course, this is but we are in the round of 16. This is the only salvation that I get. A Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill, punditing on TV, said, I had developed a bit of a soft spot for Japan, but I hope they get battered in the next round.
Oh, that's the RTE speaking, isn't it?
It wasn't that TV, but yeah, I know what you mean. Peter, are you disappointed in your boys?
My boys? Well, the Donaldson Derby's off, isn't it?
Yes.
In that case.
Could have been Japan, England.
Could have been Japan, England next round. We can't meet them in the final.
You like Belgium, don't you?
In the final? Can Japan or England face each other in the final?
I'm just saying. That's the Donaldson Derby in the final. It'd be wonderful.
He's not plotting England's route. He's plotting Japan and England's route.
Pete, for that to be the Donaldson Derby, it would have to be the third place playoff. It's a cynical game.
Exactly.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. Well, of course, the last 16 fixtures are all finalised. And people are talking about France versus Argentina. Mm. That is probably the tastiest one on paper.
I want France to either wake up and start playing football, or I want Argentina to dick on them. And I'm not confident either of those things can happen.
There's no way Argentina are dicking on anybody now.
No.
They might sneak through, but there will be no dicking, Jim, in that game.
I feel like France have been the biggest, possibly even only, disappointment of the tournament, because they just haven't played with any flair. We know they can. Of course they can. And I think they've not really needed to get out of second gear, but it's fun to get out of second gear.
Very much so. I wonder if France can turn the screw and do something against Argentina.
Yeah, well, if you fancy Argentina to do the dicking or whatever you wanted, Jim, to book the form book, so to speak, it's 5-2 with Bet365, £10 returning, £35 plus your stake. It's going to be exciting either way.
Talking of foul play earlier, Uruguay versus Portugal.
Yeah. That's going to be good, isn't it?
There'll be some foul play to come.
Narrative all over the gap.
Oh, that is a dickhead's gallery, isn't it? Suarez, Pepe, Ronaldo.
Godin.
Yeah, Christian Rodriguez, the 47-year-old enforcer.
The man with the calves. I don't know if he'll play in that game.
oh, he's going to play in that game, surely. Someone needs a kick, which they will.
That is a war of attrition.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you think it could be a bit dull, because both sides maybe not the most flariest going forward.
But they're all mad when you look at the players in those teams.
Yeah, right. But the front lines, yeah, some of those attacking players. But as you say, Jim, there's going to be a bit of needle.
Yeah.
Plenty of needle, Pete Donaldson. Which other ones take your fancy? Brazil v Mexico. Mm. We're talking about England playing, being a bit flat, and have they lost the momentum? Bloody Mexico are crying at the end of their game.
Yeah, God.
How are they going to pick themselves up against Brazil? Oh, and they could have been playing Switzerland, which is no easy task, of course.
Yeah.
But that is, that's where you plot. Plot when you say, if we do our job, if we win and we top the group, then we'll get an easier side.
Right, it's all right.
That's
when Mexico do it.
No, but that's when plotting's fine, Jim, because you're going in and you're wanting to win the game, of course. They buggered it up and now they're playing Brazil.
Yeah. God.
Well, if you fancy Mexico to win the entire tournament, Marcus Speller.
No way.
The entire World Cup, 66-1 with Bet365, £10 returning, £670, including stake.
My goodness.
I mean, it might not happen, but it would be fun if they were even in the conversation for me.
Indeed it would. And Sweden versus Switzerland, the winner of that game will play Colombia versus England. Mm. And England then play Brazil in the final.
Yes.
I think that's how it works.
If Brazil
have tons of suspensions and injuries.
Yeah.
And
Brazil are probably haunted by the last World Cup, so I imagine they'll be so mentally fragile by the final if they get there that they won't bother and we'll get an automatic 3-0 win.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that friendly England played against Brazil when they won 1-0 in about 1990?
Well, I don't think
is
really
that going to play on
that.
Their mind?
Yeah.
Is that going to play on Brazil's mind?
I don't
mind?
Think they've really recovered.
Yeah, right enough. Okay. Well, we can. I don't want to start celebrating it yet, but it's in the bag. It's coming home,
back, guys.
The cup
is
coming home.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson. have you got some correspondence?
I've got a little bit. If you fancy a little sweetener to finish us off.
Yeah, I should say so.
So to speak. Hello to Chris Hind in Dubai. Greetings, World Cup Ramblers. I like that we're, the World Cup edition of Ramblers. Mm. Loving the World Cup shows. How good is this tourney so far? I presume he wrote this before the England match. Following your recent brief discussion on the World Cup success so far of the Marquee.
Mm.
I thought I'd check into it. These are all the Marquee at the World Cup according to the online FIFA player list.
Top man.
Argentina's got Marcos Acuna. We've got Rojo, obviously. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica had Marcus Arena. England, Rashford. For Sweden, Berg and Roden. So, although they're not all through, 5 out of 6 Marquee, 83%. Have made it through to the second
round of the
World Cup. Not a bad return, really.
Let's keep track of that.
Yeah. Do you want to include Mark Horses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
You've got Royce, Fabian and Asensio as well. So obviously only two of those have made. So that Germany defeat is the result that keeps on giving.
Does that drop the percentage down then?
It does, yeah.
All right, we won't include that.
Oh, no, surely over the long game.
Well, I mean,
be smart here, Marcus.
Yeah, be smart.
Think of the long game. Don't go for short-term
game. I am looking at the long game, Marcus Rashford. Okay, there'll be one in the final.
Rob has pointed out that Mexican fans, after watching the game back home in Mexico, went down to the South Korean embassy there to thank them for beating Germany and sending Mexico through. The ambassador actually came out and downed tequila with them before dancing and singing.
That's great.
Which I really like.
Thank goodness they won.
And finally for now from Andy Hill. Morning chaps, during Euro 2016, my youngest, then only 3, pointed to the sticker of Andreas Granqvist in the Panini album and said, "He looks like you, Daddy." I was delighted with this as I'm a few years older than Andreas. So imagine my sadness when the chat turned to him in the aftermath of Sweden beating Mexico and you saying he looked a lot older, putting his age at 41. I am 41. I'm now confused as to whether my child thinks it's normal for an elite level athlete to look like a middle-aged man and what he actually thinks I look like. Yours, saddened and confused, Andy Hill.
Oh, sorry, Andy.
Well, if you're 41 and the guy looks 41, then we've got it spot on.
Andy, I'm a man with a million lookalikes.
Yes.
It never stops hurting.
Yeah.
Also, it depends on what you're doing.
What do you mean?
I'm 36,
yeah,
but I live in North London, so
right.
I'm 28. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean? As in, like, if I...
It depends on your circumstances.
Well, does Peter Pan
your real age.
Me?
Right.
Yeah, I am him, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. I put you more down as Captain Hook.
Yeah, fair.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're into the knockouts, gentlemen.
There's no football on tonight. I don't like it. I don't understand it. We've got no show tomorrow.
We're back on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're having a day off.
Wow. What are you going to do with your day off, guys?
Oh, should we do a podcast about something else?
Should we do the Wimbledon ramble?
Yes. Let's do that.
All right, then. Well, as I say, we'll be back on Sunday to talk about France and Argentina and Uruguay, Portugal.
Beautiful.
Tasty. Mm. We'll see you then. Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye from London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.